of Africans enjoying religious feasts of one kind or another during the period of November and December, and also for all of us in South Africa, we have the opportunity to celebrate New Year. And perhaps most of all, we took the opportunity to be with our families. And I think for politicians, that's a very rare opportunity to actually know that you're not coming to Parliament or the constituency and you're spending and prioritizing your families. For me, it was a very marvelous occasion. Either one overeats here or one's working harder on the home front, but I lost 4 kgs and I ate more, so I'm not sure what the food is like here in Parliament. Of course, that is digging, cleaning floors, because my worker also has 2 weeks off over Christmas, so I don't think I work harder than I ever work at home. But thank you to all of us. I also think it's an opportunity for all of us to reflect for a moment in time on just, and not at this moment, but as we go home this evening and during the next week or two, on our purpose here in Parliament. Why did you stand for election? Why did I stand? And what do the people of South Africa expect from us? Do they expect party parochial politics? Do they expect service delivery? And is it only party members who expect that, or all South Africans who expect that? We may be elected on a particular party ticket, but we're here to serve everyone in the country to the best of our ability. And I genuinely think that all of us sitting here, need to keep that in our minds this year when we go home at night and also when we drive to work in the morning to get ready for the meeting. I also, it's simply an appeal to myself and to all of us. There are very few of us who read the documents we're given. Very few. There are one or two who study them so well that they step ahead sometimes of the chair and the researcher and the content specialist. All of us should be there. All of us. And others who actually tell you the reason they're not coming to meetings is because they haven't read the documents. Now, I think all of us have a fresh start. Let's start again to read the documents. If the documents are too heavy, and they're too heavy for me sometimes, I'm going to appeal to the researcher, the content specialist, the DTI, through Siraj here, Ms. Naidu too, through the DG, yourself, the DG and the Minister, to please ensure that there are executive summaries above these big documents. Sometimes a page will do. Sometimes 10 lines, half a page. And sometimes, very seldom, 2 pages. But one of the first things you learn in English is how to pray in grade 4. So if we can't do it now, I don't know where we were sitting. So please summarize. The last thing I comment I want to make on a broader level to staff before I address my own style and behavior is that I do expect staff to do follow-ups on everything. They are very busy people, I know. But they have an office they come to once a day, same office generally. They live in the same house generally. And some of us don't. Some of us are living in 3 houses or whatever, the constituency, parliament, and some other place. And some members in this committee are driving 180 kilometers to get to an airport. And others are driving 400 km. Now, when you decide to say that the member should have checked on Friday what they had, try and think of all those challenges members of Parliament have before you criticize the members of Parliament for not taking the document home. Give them a phone call. The second thing I'm appealing to members of staff here is, can they please ensure we have the documents in time, and if they are expecting these documents from someone else outside of Parliament, can they tell them and ask them, please can we have a couple of days to see the documents? The last thing is alternates tell me, and there are a number of alternates that I thought were listed as alternates, so we need to check the ATC. Every party is supposed to have an alternate. Who is the DA's alternate? But you have two full members. That's why, probably, yeah. The ANC, I'm waiting for the whip to join us. Who is the ANC's alternate? That is, I must say, I learned this myself just this week, Fatima Hajjaj. So we will, of course, be approaching her. Maybe she's never had the document, so let's not jump now to conclusions. Then the ISP, we're well aware of the alternate, who's a regular in the committee. The PAC, I think, is one person, am I right? I'm looking at help here. And COPE is a full-time and an alternate. Now, where are they today? And her alternate? Yeah. I will expect all full-time members to get hold of their own alternate. Now, you all know who your alternates are. Even I know. And I'll ask the alternate, and please make sure all the documents are going to the alternate. Because they say they won't come to meetings because they don't know what's going on. All right. Let's start. As for the chair's behavior and style of dealing in the committee and chairing, I think it is more pertinent that I chair and chair in a manner that allows the same time to be given to all people and not for one or two to be given an extraordinary amount of time because I enjoy what they say. So we'll try to be a bit fairer that way. Secondly, to try to remember that members need to be treated with dignity, notwithstanding a sense of humor, and three, to ensure that the chair is punctual at all times and is at least here when if the meeting is scheduled to start. I do have a full-time secretary, the best Parliament has got, and I'm sure we're going to struggle to even keep her. She's so competent. And so I've no excuse about answering the phone, you know, like I had before. I have full operational facilities in my office, and I now have no valid excuse for being late with any document or presenting myself to you late. So if there's any other member who wishes to say anything at this point that they feel the committee needs to be run better, can they do so now?
Chairperson, thank you very much for your welcoming words and for the way in which you have conducted the meetings last year. Fortunately, our last meeting of last year ended a bit abruptly in the sense that we expected see each other again, which is something which didn't materialize then. No criticism of you. As a matter of fact, I want to say thank you for the way in which you've allowed all parties to participate in the deliberations. It's just one thing which I've come thought that I've come away with, and that is that quite often in these meetings we ask questions of our guests, of those people that come and make presentations. And then they, due to various reasons, don't answer those questions. And they almost don't want to say, get off, you know, by just getting on to the next and the next item, etc. And if possible, I would like to ask you to concentrate on whether when we've asked questions, those questions have been answered, whether they've been answered in full, and whether people have stuck to the answering of the question. They were particularly, during our last meeting, and later on I may come back to this, the meeting with the Minister and the Director General of DTI. There were a lot of pertinent questions asked on the annual report that were never answered, to my mind, in that meeting. So and that, in a sense, defeats the purpose. You know, if you don't ask, don't get an answer to a question, then answering the question, the reason for that or the value of that falls away. So if we can also, in a sense, ask our guests in future, and if you as chairperson can hold them to it, then thank you, but that's what the question was, and I would really appreciate that. But for the rest, thank you very much for a task well done, and I quite often think that the chairperson's job must be one of the hardest, because you would like to participate more in the meeting, and yet you need to also guide and direct the meeting, something which you've done very well.
Thank you. Yes,
Honourable Ambrose. Yes, Madam Chairman, thank you very much. I'm following up on your question on whether something can be done to improve on the quality of our deliberations, and I do so with some difficulty, because I think that in my experience this is one of the best run committees in which I have the pleasure and honor of participating. But everything is open to improvement. So even though one needs to express a word of appreciation for the way the committees run and the enormous amount of information that you, Madam Chairman, make available to all of us with presentation and hearings, there are nonetheless things that I think one would need to mention, not in our interest, but in the interest of what we do here as parliamentarians and in the interest of the function of Parliament. The first thing I would like to mention is our deliberation. We as a committee should deliberate. I understand that the ANC has got a study group, comes together and deliberate. But the path that we have followed thus far, in these and in other committees, that we receive presentations, often we spend a few hours being read. People come and they read the presentation to us rather than giving it to us afterward. We ask a couple of questions, and then everyone leaves. There has never been an opportunity for us as colleagues to deliberate, exchange views, understand one another. We do that in the corridors around the dinner table, which is important. But we as a committee, I thought we will need to have discussions on the themes of the country, the subsidies policy. Why are we subsidizing the auto industry? I'm not saying it's bad, but we should understand why we are doing it. The same thing, the industrial policy. What is our understanding of the industrial policies? What is our respective level of satisfaction with industrial policy? I mean, the government is creating a new policy. We have no input, and the responsibility of creating policies of this nature ought to involve Parliament as well. So that's the first aspect, if we can make space for actual deliberation. Now, and that goes to the second aspect. We have very good support staff in this committee. And I look at this report, and I'm looking today at the first time, I'm not sure whether it was emailed, I suspect not. If it was, my apology, I didn't receive it or read it. But as I read it now, I can see the staff tying the dots. And it's wonderful for them to do it, but they shouldn't be doing it. They say the committee resolved, the committee deliberated, the committee thought, the committee did, and they're filling the gap on what we're not doing. They're putting together a question, another question, a comment, and they're making it a committee view, which makes it very nice reading, but not necessarily a reflection of what has been done. The third and last point is with questions that we put to those who come before us. And I'm not making this point in my interest, on our interest, but in the interest of Parliament as an institution. And I see this in all committees. One asks documents, they say, sure, I'll give it to you. And they just don't. It's a mockery of the process. They come with the information they have. They tell us what they want. What they don't tell us, what they don't want to tell us, it's just it's gone. I can give 1,000 examples. Kula, the alternative option plan, never given. Simple example with Talco. I asked them how they were going to, how they were carrying the stock on the ground, whether it was at the retail level, a sale level, or a planting cost. I can think about, I was trying to make notes, the business plan for the satellite we launched. Where does the money come in at the revenue? There are thousand things where they said, not to me, but to all of us, I'll give it to you, and they don't. So, Madam Chairman, in the interest of Parliament, I think we should consider issuing a couple of subpoenas so that the people start taking this committee, the other committees, and Parliament as a whole with a seriousness that the institution deserves. Thank you.
Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
I also want to echo the first wish of the member as well as the member Andriguez of thanking you and leading us as our chairperson. A task that is not easy. But I want to make 2 points. The first point, I want to propose that we balance between our work in Parliament and our work outside Parliament, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what products we produce in Parliament, but if those products are not taken to the people who must use them, then it means we are not fulfilling and empowering society. That is the first one. And then the second one, which is internal in a way, it is to that most members serve in various committees. So that from the chairperson's point of view, you know, you structure things and the program together with us, that must be taken into consideration so that, you know, sometimes we find we are divided between various committees at the same time, and it then appears as if one is disrespectful of this chairperson or that chairperson. We don't want to be put in that type of position. That's a thing.
Thank you, Chair. But let me follow my colleagues as well, and everybody, and also reinforce and re-emphasize of the telling work that the Chair has done last year, particularly in the face of our hectic starting and the ups and downs we've gone through. Sometimes if you look at these minutes, they wouldn't reflect the storms and the whirlwinds we've gone through, particularly in terms of resourcing the Chair's office in the main. Chair, my little input would be on a couple of things, just to reinforce the spirit of, or the need for the spirit of teamwork that's essential for this committee, given that we're handling, amongst others, some of the most vital issues for the prosperity and the transformation of this country. Teamwork should actually be the clarion call to all of us. And I trust and hope in terms of daily activities, we will look at monitoring and evaluation of our own work over and above that of the department, so that we know that we are effective more and more in our constitutional obligation. Linked to that, I'm sure we will at some stage even just take a look at the strategic plan that we adopted last year and see how far are we. You know, this is my second term in Parliament, Chair, and even yourself, you know, you even richer because you've got even provincial experience. So the formulation of a strategic plan by a parliamentary committee, to me, was one of the most profound experiences I've had, and made me even more confident that we'll be able to, you know, perform, you know, far better throughout the whole term. So if you could look at that. And at the back of our minds, once again, you know, what comes in to the fore from that is that, if I understand well, the Parliament has concluded that 60% of our work should be oversight work. And I'm glad some of my colleagues have actually re-emphasized that, you know, Honorable Ambrosini, Honorable Mabaso, you know, in actually various, in Honorable Fanavente, in various operational things, but I'm just contradicting that actually they are reinforcing the fact that Parliament has said that we should be robust about oversight work. Imagine 60% of our life here resources, and the last thing is I can see the issue of information is still a very strong point, you know. But I also would like just to highlight that one of the things we should remember, for us to conduct oversight work, we should ensure independent access to information, not to be dependent on the department. Not because we are antagonistic or hostile or suspicious, but for us to conduct oversight, we should be quite, you know, happy about that. We've been able to get or access information independently, and then we can engage them. Whatever they present and put forward to us, we get satisfied so that we account in whatever way back to the public, to the constituencies that elected us, you know, with a greater confidence. I hope one of the things we look into, Chair, as well, as part of that, is to emphasize on the impact of what the executive is doing, of what the department is doing. It's fine for them to give us a report that we've done that last, but I plead that we should start this year and up until the end of the term. We also go a little bit deeper and say, you've done this, you know, you spent so money on, you know, small business development and cooperatives, rural, whatever, but what has been the impact of that? I can see the researcher next to you, Chair, nodding. Maybe he's excited about looking at that dimension. Diabule, and go. I'm just looking forward to work with everybody this year. But I'm still lazy, Chair, all I can confess. I wish I could go back to holiday.
The points that have been made have all been heard by myself, and I'm sure by all of us sitting here, and they will all, in fact, contribute to a more effective committee. But most of all, we must even remember why we have a committee. The committee is the engine of Parliament. Parliament is the people's Parliament. It's here to ensure that they are served better and that we do transform lives. And I think that's the point that was made by Honourable Mabaso, that a balance must be sought between the two. And one needs to see how effectively that can be factored into things. The other point about the members' commitment in other committees, I often say to myself, there are many, many reasons why I am pleased that I am a member of the party. I am the ANC, because there's so many in Parliament. Imagine if I was a member of a party that had perhaps fewer than 100 members, fewer than 50 members, fewer than 10. How would I hope to cope? How would I hope to cope? Because your constituency would expect you to be an authority on everything, everything, and entirely up to date. So, yes, I think it is incumbent on all of us to have an appreciation that we are all members of Parliament, Yes, we are members of political parties, and in our own ways we have taken a decision on how best to serve the people, and so on, and let's pursue that. The other point was with reference to questions and perhaps the tracking of responses, whether the responses are made in committee, how robust and effective they were, and in writing. So someone we need to hear from the committee secretary who's handling that then. Then we also need, related to that, deliberation. Of course, there are deliberations, and some of us are aware that there is, I don't know if you'd call it a Hansard, but there is a recording of everything. I'm sure you do realize that and know that. So whenever there may be a dispute in a committee, for example, the recording is referred to. So perhaps some of us do deliberate to a degree, but possibly some of the interpretations may not be with what we have agreed. On the other hand, perhaps there are comments made by staff in the absence of our own. So I think that we ourselves need to be more aware of that. And when we say this document is for deliberation, I do believe we've tried to do that with this agenda. You'll see that this is not on the normal paper you get, you know, the heading and everything. Because we redid this agenda, not to say deliberations on the annual report, because we realized it would not be an opportunity to effectively deliberate, so far better to get a briefing. And then we'll read it at home again, and then we'll deliberate. So hopefully that's already taken on board. The minutes, well, we did go through the minutes. We've had many of these minutes since last year, so I hope we don't have to go through them again, that we will be able to deal with them. Then with respect to our own committee report, it's a briefing and consideration. And bearing in mind that the committee report is extracted from minutes, from reports, and from what the chairperson is saying, but again, it's a briefing. So I think on the deliberations, we may well have made a start on this agenda to say, no, let's not make a joke out of this word deliberation. We're not deliberating. And political parties need to have the opportunity among themselves to review this. You know, and it's all very well for me as the chair to say, I've had a good look at this, I know what we want, you know. But you don't really know. And it isn't a chair who makes a committee. It's the members. Then the balance, we've done that. We've done the review of the strategic plan. I think you'll see we are addressing that. Perhaps the issue of independence and access of information may not have been alluded to by me that often, but I am as interested as yourselves in independent access. And I think Parliament is beginning to move in that direction by saying they're going to have a budget office, for example. So up to now, we have had no choice but to depend entirely on Treasury, because really we didn't have the facilities. So I think there are two ways of getting information. The one way is, yes, of course, directly from the department and the staff and the ministers and so on. And that is indeed how it should be, and they should be making what we want available, as long as it's not covered by other legislation. On the other hand, there's no doubt that if you're going to talk of your branch, of your family, of your committee, you're going to get your point of view. We are all people. So it's far better to get independent people from time to time. So I think information, we've got to talk to our researcher, the library, and our content specialist in that regard, okay? Is that the lady who brought in glasses? Where is she? She's gone already. Is that yourself?
No.
No, who brought in the glasses? Now, please tell her that not in my constituency or in the field or on a picnic. I want the glass, please. every meeting, and I'm sure members want glasses. You know, the TV captures us drinking out of bottles. I'm sure the public thinks we've got a shot of whiskey or vodka in us, the way we're drinking these bottles of water. I want glasses served here for water. All right. So I think that all of us have tried to share with each other our frustrations, our hopes, and let's try and move forward again more effectively than we have been and improve on the past. Yes.
May I just add one thing? We've received numerous minutes of previous meetings this morning. If in future we could perhaps have a more even flow of considering and adopting the minutes. It is very hard now, I don't know how many, I haven't had the opportunity to count, but to recall what has happened in those meetings and therefore to ensure that the minutes are accurate, it does become difficult.
I just want to remind members that half of these minutes we have seen, some of us who were present will remember we sent them back because there were too many changes required. Do you remember the issue of people's names? There was the issue of present and absent. There were the issue of whole paragraphs left up. So I do want to indicate that half of these minutes we have seen. And when you go through them, you'll realize you've seen them. But there were just too many corrections. And part of that problem is that the committee secretary was also filling in for other committees at the same time. So thank you for the hard work you put in. I'm told by the chief whip, but as well as the chair of chairs, that this committee was the hardest working, one of the two hardest working in Parliament last year. And I do know you were the hardest working, and if I'm economic with my appreciation, let me try to be more appreciative. Thank you. And we now move through to the minutes. They're not the minutes, what is it? It's now the adoption of the agenda. Can we have someone to adopt the agenda, please? Thank you. Proposed by Honourable Mabaso. Seconded. Well, in the absence of anyone objecting, it is seconded. The briefing on the draft report, on the annual report of the DTI.
Madam Chair, can I just go back?
Yes.
I just want to make one suggestion to the agenda, not in terms of content, but in terms of sequence. Would it not make more sense to bring forward the consideration adoption of the committee program? Because it flows from the type of comments, the type of discussion we have had here now. And then we can do the briefing perhaps at the end. Because, I mean, those who don't want to be briefed can just read it at home.
You know, there is one reason for not doing that, and in fact one wanted to do it off the tee. I'll tell you why. It's not to bring it forward, but maybe change something else. It will be our draft committee report speaks to the strategic plan. And it also speaks of possible impending changes. Now, when you adopt a program, right, thank you very much. When you adopt a program, you should be aware of some of the pitfalls so that you can actually make the change and put a question mark. Because this program went out last year, but it needed to be, authorized. And already two changes were made. So I just thought that you may want to be aware of all the changes first before you look at the program. That was the reason. And on hindsight, we may need to bring up the draft annual report of the committee above the briefing. That won't take long because it's simply a briefing. Or take the program to after tea. If the program is going to change as a result of what we are going to say. So can I rather put the program after tea and the briefing before? There's something of a briefing on the draft annual report of the committee, and take it before tea, and you'll have tea to discuss it. Okay. Can I have someone to agree on that? Thank you, Mr. Thank you. All right. Can we then go? This is just a briefing. It's really going to bring you up to date fast. The report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the annual reports of the Department of Trade and Industry and its entities. It's a very thick one. It was supposed to be distributed now. Has everyone got that? Can we put a date here, draft 255? Okay. Andre, your 5 minutes just to bring us up to date what we did and why we're only adopting now. Not adopting, but in 2010.
Just to bring the committee members up to date in terms regarding the process of the annual report, I think as all committee members know that annual reports are normally tabled in terms of the PFA by September, and our committee has dealt with DTI and various entities. As the committee can recall, as a committee, we make the decision that we will not be possible to look at all entities that we have oversight over, and the committee took a decision to only have public hearings with a couple of committees which indicated in the report. Now, a problem that we experienced last year was due to the parliamentary program and constant change, we had problems securing a time for the Minister of Trade and Industry to brief the committee on the annual report. We proceeded with all the other entities, but only in November last year, on the 13th, we were able to secure a date. It was not due to the Minister not being available, it was the constant changes of the parliamentary program, which we couldn't, because at the time we could do it, he was travelling overseas. Now, as a result of that, we distributed a draft report which included all the entities, but excluded the DTI because the briefing was done too late. And that's the reason why we are only now looking at the second draft of the report, which incorporates the report, which includes the DTI presentation and the comments that the committee members made. So currently we have in front of us the full report, which include DTI and the entities that, as a committee, as a strategic plan, we agree to that we will engage for this financial year and for this cycle. It was the Competition Commission, the Competition Tribunal, IBC, CULA, the NEF, SEMF, and the ECIC. Those were the entities that, as a committee, we've agreed that we will have public hearings on the matter. Those reports were distributed last year already. And the only addition to the report is the inclusion of the interaction the committee has with DTI in the report as it is now. So the report is the full report of all the entities that we agreed to consider for last year. So the report is the first second drop of the report is before the committee now for the input.
So, I think it's going to be important for members to reacquaint themselves with the document. You'll study it yourself, go through it with your political parties, your caucuses, and that again, we have put somewhere else on the program. So if there's any member who feels they don't have enough time for their properly consider it, that's what I mean about the programming, then you need to keep that in mind when we look at the program. Is that clear? So it's a long document. Please take cognizance of what has been said by yourselves now. Did you deliberate enough? Remember the issue you raised yourselves now. Were all the questions responded to? You know. So let's start the year off properly. Okay, so this is just putting you on board. I don't really think there's anything for us to comment on, except to ensure that you've got a copy of it. Is that all right? Fine. At which point now, we're going to go to the consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes. I've explained about the minute issue. Half of them we have seen and gone through, but they needed to be redone. We refused to adopt them, if you recall. Right. But there are about four sets of minutes that you've never seen, or three. They were the November ones, if you remember. The last one. Where was this last one? This is here. Yeah, we never ever saw from the 30th of October onwards, I think. We never saw November. That's the ones we never saw at all. They weren't done in time. And it went, or rather, they were done, and our meetings were cancelled in November, you will recall, due to the early closure. So can we move on to minutes? The first set of minutes, I'm just waiting for the secretary to come here. You've seen this set. The 15th of October and September. The 15th of September, most of the problems here related to people who said they, two were present and hadn't been marked, and the spelling of their names and the resolution itself. So I want to go through page one, make sure that was corrected properly.
Sorry, Chief, this is the first one that I have in front of me, that is the 8th of September.
I don't have the 8th, I must say. I don't. Unless you put that on there. 23rd of September. The points I made are with reference to the 15th. All right, on the 8th of September, I didn't go through those again, so I can't comment on what the changes were. Yes.
Chairperson, quite honestly, many of these I haven't seen before. It may be a mistake on my side, but I haven't seen it. And if they were returned to the staff in order to correct initials, that certainly then wasn't done. Remember, Marais' initials are SJF. And I see that almost right through, it's either K or S. I personally would appreciate a few moments to go through this. So I've not tried to scan some of them. And I would appreciate just a little opportunity to be able to go through them properly.
Okay, yeah, you know, I don't know why. Did any other member see the 8th? Yes, Lambrosini.
Yeah, may I make a procedural suggestion? There is lots of paper here. May I suggest that we resolve that this be adopted? Subject to, one, any editorial comment which people can direct directly to the secretariat, like correction of names, and subject to any objection to be lodged before next meeting. So we can go back and read them at home, and then at the next meeting we will deal only with those minutes, which have been a target of an objection, and then we bring those back. If no objection is received, everything is adopted. That's my proposal.
Move them on the table. Yes, Honorable Van der Vick.
I intend to move a slight amendment to that. Can I just ask, are we still going to meet tomorrow?
Yes.
And I wonder if Member Ambrosini would concur with perhaps us just adopting these then tomorrow. That would give us some opportunity to go through them. I've only picked up one, not serious, but one mistake, if I may call it like that, in the minutes. granted, it's one of the later dates, but I would like to just be able to be granted the opportunity to go through them and let them just adopt them tomorrow. We've just received all this paperwork, and I think it's a bit unfair of us to now put our stamp of approval on something that we've not been able to do.
I just want to check whether you have received my apology for the chair and whether the whip has received my apology for tomorrow. I will not be around tomorrow. But I have the apologies that I will have to both yourself and the whip.
No, we haven't, but thank you for drawing our attention to that. Thank you. You know, the thing is, why we're going to need a quorum is it's an adoption. I cannot leave the minutes beyond tomorrow. So we either will have to do that or somehow just speed up our work. Well, actually, we can't put anything on for today that will release tomorrow. There are public hearings tomorrow, and that's not going to change, you see, because people are coming. And the adoption of the report, of the annual report, clearly that's going to be moved, because I know many people want to spend more than one night on it. So we'll have possibly an hour, but it's the quorum I'm worried about. So we'll see what we can be done, and if there's anyone else from Coast who's going to be here tomorrow, you see. You'll have to find out. Fine. Thank you, Honourable Mabaso. We'll have to get hold of Fatima Hajjaj. Or? Helen Line. So the proposal, is that accepted? There was a proposal, there was an amendment to the proposal that we don't adopt it now, but we retain what has been said, but adopt tomorrow. Can we accept that and move? Yes. No, but I mean, it was purely an event. Yeah, but that's true. You know, the same thing as well. The only difference is on the board under this page and says, can I have the knife? You know? Okay. All right, so put those away. But most of all, I think you're going to have to stay at Parliament yourself until late and go through those minutes. I think put in people's names and just do a spell check across them. Right. Let's look back at the agenda and come to the next item. Where's the agenda? Right, okay. The agenda here will be the briefing and consideration of the draft annual report of the PC on trade and industry. Do you see that? It's a document that looks like that. Does everyone have?
Can you repeat yourself?
It's called the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry at the top, Matters for Consideration. And on here, it's called Briefing and Consideration of the Draft Annual Report. Well, yeah, that may have been because you've just come in after it was handed out. Yeah.
I also don't do it.
So just walk around and see if people have got it. I'll ask Margot. Or someone to walk around. All right. The issue here is that it is a consideration. Ms. Herling will talk to the outstanding issues. I'll talk to the introduction. The introduction I wrote basically, and the very outstanding issues was the staff got together, the committee secretary, the content specialist, and the researcher to clarify that. The possible thrust areas we took from the points that were made last year in September, October, and November from committee, and also some of the issues that have come out since then in statements that have been made by both the president and, of course, the parliamentary chair of chairs. So just indicating, I think the first paragraph speaks for itself. But it also looks at the second paragraph, looks at a very important issue, bearing in mind that this is your committee report. It phrases such as, to bring it into line with the paradigm shift, don't suit your train of thought, then that's what you want to comment on when we do bring back the document. The other issues are those challenges facing us, the core priorities, how trade and industry fits into this, and the threats that we're going to come through to. There's also the point about the mandates of the two departments, economic development and trade and industry, and the point made is simply we will learn more about this during the State of Nation Address. As a result of 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs and what has been stated there, there's no doubt that the strategic plan of the committee will have to be reviewed. Absolutely. Now, Margot, you will speak to the outstanding issues from 2009 very briefly. So you finished right up to nano and biotechnology, all right? Like I said, you know, members, it's not really intended for a debate per se, but a consideration. If there's something you want to say right now that we've overlooked, please say so. Otherwise, you will add to it. Yes, thank you, Honorable.
Just clarity on how you wish to handle it. I heard what you said. I read what's written here. I have some difficulties, and I would like to add and comment. Should I do it now or later?
No, we're not deliberating on it. It's, in other words, you can add it, but then we're still going to look at it all again.
You
I
see,
hope that makes sense.
Again, Madam Chairman, mine is not, my agenda is very clear. It's that of strengthening Parliament, strengthening our work, giving meaning to us being here. I don't want us being here for 5 years being exclusively a process in which we educate ourselves about what happens. It's too expensive an education to impose on the taxpayer. So we need to get to the bottom of the issue. We have tackled certain issues, and I would like those issues to be taken to the next stage. We have received a presentation on the subsidies and the incentives. We have received a presentation, which is several presentations that you organized on the economic impact of protectionist measures and the subsidies, textile industry, marginally the auto industry. I would like all this to be taken to a next stage, which is going to be deliberative. We take actual deliberation. And I would like to see public hearings be held by this committee on this issue. What is the impact on the nation of this policy? The same thing about the trade policy. My second ask, so the first one is the entire scheme of subsidies and incentives. The second one, the trade, the industrial policy. What would experts, economists, opinion makers see as our possibility of building or creating widgets for the global market, for the global market? We as the Parliament need to acquire this information, and then once we understand what we can do as a country, perhaps tie subsidies to this. And the third aspect in which I think that we need to take our discussion further is on the international trade policy. We heard ITAC, we heard people, and we've been told. I've got, personally, I've got major problems. The trade policy of this country is still what it used to be before 94. It is there to reward a few industrialists who got their jobs at the expenses of all the consumers who end up paying much more than they should for all the goods we consume. We cannot have second-hand goods. There is an enormous amount of absurdity. I would like to have consumer groups coming to Parliament and telling us how our policies are making them suffer, are making the people suffer, because all we hear about are from the organs of state and not those who are affected by their actions. So I would suggest these three aspects for public hearings: international trade policy, subsidy incentive schemes, and the industrial policy. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Right. I let it continue a bit because some of what you were saying was directly related to what we didn't do last year, the subsidies and incentives and the the public hearings issues. But some of what you were saying is clearly related to areas that we never really properly earmarked last year at all, and we need to consider doing this year. So I've written it down because I'm going to put most of it under the possible thrust areas for 2010. I hope that makes sense. Because the last lot was simply what fell off the agenda, you know, in other words, unfinished business, not where we should, perhaps we, our strategic plan may not have been all that suitable. So I want us to carry on. We've got time, so it's all right. Honourable Mabaso, Honourable Njikalana.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I know that the critical areas, poverty, education, health, crime, decent work remain core. But because we are a specific department, trade and industry, I wonder if we shouldn't also include growing the economy as well as addressing the inequalities. Because I think we are the most appropriate department to lead and expand on that. And then the last point, Comrade Chair, in case I have missed it, if it is covered, the connection between our department and environment, in as far as the environment causes all these havocs all over the world, and where business industries are primarily responsible for the destruction or the disturbance of the atmosphere. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Njikalana.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, not much today, I plead. I just would like to go through my notes. If you could just give us a deadline, but just a few comments. One of the things I know, which Professor Turok has been very, very passionate about, and he has infected me as well, is about the restructuring of the economy. I remember I even attended, especially in the CBSA, there's a strong move from certain economies that you should consider that, because South Africa, the structure of South Africa's economy has changed for the past 100 years. So we need to look strategically, and I think it's about how, as the Portfolio Committee on behalf of Parliament, will contribute to that debate, a little bit broad in any case. There could be a few, you know, other things, but sorry, Chair, not for now. But I just wanted to highlight just a few things in terms of what has been presented. The incentive scheme, I know they've been handled last year, but just that if I remember, I missed that meeting, but you yourself and the rest of the team here were not happy about the presentation that Junior President was brought in, and we couldn't deliberate on them. So I would like us to look at them, in even before public hearing, in the context of us as a committee being happy about what the update we get from the department. And also on the trade policy, if I can just caution, the cabinet has just adopted trade policy late last year. We haven't even formally received it as a committee. You know, I know it's somewhere, it's on the way. So if you could, review the trade policy as a policy, as part of the range of policies in that context, it's coming, since it has been adopted, and we have a right to go through it. I'm sure Ms. Saroch will definitely be helpful to ensure that it gets into our system. Thank you.
Right. I think this is fine. So what we've done is, I only saw or heard two or three things that were on the agenda and not done. You follow, there's a difference in what perhaps we now think we should have been doing. It's what we put on the agenda arising out of the strat plan. One was the subsidies and incentives, to which two people spoke to. The other one was in terms of, where have I written this here? Oh, yeah. The economy itself, we have that down in sort of two or three different indirect ways, and perhaps we didn't pursue it as it should have been pursued. I'm thinking of a case in point when we first came in as a committee, and we got one of our very first briefings from the IDC here. You remember we were in the Good Hope, and they were telling us how they saw some of their different roles compared to the coolers of this, that, and the next thing. It was, in fact, to grow the economy through encouraging economically and supporting financially, I still remember their famous phrase, the emerging entrepreneurs. And then we were asking how and why, because that sounded such a brilliant phrase. And we never did get to the bottom of the how and the why. You remember it was too much, we packed too much into that. And then they came again, and they were telling us a little bit more. So in that respect, they saw the economy growing by bringing up these emerging entrepreneurs, middle income, small business, and so on. Now, that's one way. The other way that was on the agenda and was also not fully carried through were the different speakers we had here and how trade was going to grow the economy, export, and benefit the Asia. The other issue we had with respect to growing the economy, and I think really what I'm really saying is there was no dedicated position on it. We have them as indirect spin-offs attached to other issues. Now, it may be because we didn't see ourselves at the root of growing the economy and that it was economic development whose job that was. And I think that's one of the areas that is going to have to really come up. And we're going to listen very closely to the state of nation and hear what is said there and exactly what the slight changes are in the mandates of trade and industry and economic development. And if I was to pretend I could tell you that now as I sit here, I'd be wrong. So I do think that growing the economy, the whole of the economic cluster is involved in growing the economy, and how can we do that? So I'm going to put a question mark there because we're not sure, Honourable Ambrosini, as to how we're going to be dealing with that. But I'm sure you'll come to us again, and you're going to tell us a little bit more about it when we deliberate. The other issue someone mentioned was industrial policy. I think it was yourself. Well, I think the minister himself has said here, the tragedy in South Africa is that we've nearly destroyed our industrial base. And that is key. And you will see, I'm using my own eyes trust glasses because these are for seeing anything smaller than 12 points. They like little magnifiers. But I can't see you when I've got them on, you see. So that's why I keep on taking them off and on. But if you look at the outstanding issues, you're going to see that coming up. The one thing that someone alluded to, who mentioned environment and climate? Yourself, coming about. Yes, Honourable Mabasa, this is very important. The space issue will remain with us. And it is directly linked to climate change and so on. And I think that the few of us who made a trip across there with science and technology realized only too soon how ignorant we were of the importance of this area. And that is something we must flag, in particular because we are hosting it in 2011. And here we are still trying to get to grips. When it comes to the issue of textiles, I think that that's also going to depend into what kind of aspect we look at there on the mandate. So I don't want to get too heavily involved there. So I've noted that here, and let's just look at the outstanding issues, and some of what you've said, in particular, Honourable Ambrosini, is related to outstanding issues that we should be dealing with in, possible trust areas. International and regional trade relations. There's absolutely no doubt that regional integration is a priority of the government. And what we've seen is a lot of disintegration as a result of international processes, either the ETA or others, you know, the ETAs and so on. And we may need to look at that and see whether or not this committee should be playing a closer role and giving greater focus to regional trade. the new international trade, for example, just to mention a couple, I mean, there's BRICSA, which is just BRICS now. We were supposed to be BRICSA. People who 15 years ago were way below South Africa, like Brazil, where are they now? They're ahead of South Africa here. Wow, what happened? So we may need to look at all of that, and this is why I say these are possible trust areas. The SACU, which has been so badly damaged by the ETA, you know, all I can say what the British did to China with their gunboats, they're doing now with the negotiations. And it didn't work in China. It's unlikely to work here. But anyway, there's nothing like this country having a shot. Impact and international financial crisis. I'll put this here. Because last year we were talking about distressed companies, do you remember? But this year we're not too sure exactly about the mandate. You see the question mark I have all the time. We may well be dealing with that, but in certain areas. The industrial development, very definitely, and broadening participation. The other matters which you may now wish to bring to the fore yourself, I put things down here which even come to me as just a chair, one-to-one, and someone gate-pressures you in the office and tells you they've just come from the president, and I suppose that's now the key to your room, and then you have to see them, you see. So, you know, now... But on the other hand, we are going to be dealing with intellectual property rights. Did you see that? So some group came, and they believe that they're a vital part of the economy and culture of South Africa. And, you know, the intellectual property rights, there's a lot we can learn from it. We all do listen to music, the radio, and other things. And I wonder if how many of us realize that South Africa is one of the most unprotected countries in the world. I certainly don't. We may not know this because, you see, our whole culture is to share. And, you know, in sharing so much, we may get recolonized. A request from Xstrata is a mining company. A lot of companies come to one at home. I don't know where they get your number from, because my numbers are unlisted. And they tell you they want to speak to you, a lot of them. And when you don't speak to them at home because you tell them they're not a member of the family, then they come to your office and they demand to see you. And some are more persistent than others. One is Xstrata. They're a mining company, as you know, but it is quite a critical issue, the ferrochrome. This is a trade issue related to duties, etc., and tariffs. Now, I think it may be that the researcher, in working with possibly the minerals researcher, may be able to assist us on this one, give us a little bit more information in this trade and ferrochrome, and the department in this level can also bring what they have to the party so that we can distribute that before agreeing. They would like to take members of the committee to lunch. Now, there's nothing preventing us going to lunch with people. It's only time. I have an outstanding invitation issued to me from a company through one of our members, Honorable Ambrosini, and I still haven't honored that one. You know, it's a question of time. The committee came first. So let's look at these invitations, let's be brief beforehand, and let's prioritize. Do you think that's fair? As to saying they do need to see the chair, I just don't think the chair can attend all of these things at all. I really don't. So we may have to have the whip and the chair sharing different teams from time to time and taking out two or three people from the committee. And I'm putting this here because that is definitely what is going to have to go forward. So can I have your comments on that? It would be, if it was seven people as an example, it would be the whip, and then a couple of people from the ANC, one from each party, giving you three, that's three, four, five, six, and another person. So we want seven, but there was also a view, shouldn't we also take our researcher, possibly, and our content specialist, and with the committee secretary, and possibly, you know, one of those at least needs to come along as well, which could also be in recording facilities and noting. So are there any comments on that as to how we should apportion the numbers? Because this is a practical issue now. You can't really have a decent conversation with 14 people and the company. You need to have maybe five, a maximum of seven at the table. So what other way can you see ourselves? I do not want to go alone and have lunch with these people and dinner. And you get very good lunches, very good dinners, things we could never afford. Yeah, you see. Now, on a serious note, yeah.
Chairperson, on a lighter note, referring to the 4 kgs that you boasted about in the, from the onset, now, can I say these sort of lunches, in a sense, can be informative, in the sense that you can have a one-on-one discussion that is impossible in a meeting like this. But on the other hand, it also opens one up for a lot of allegations afterwards. And therefore, my first reaction is that whatever they can come and tell us here in committee, that it must really rather be done here. If we have questions of a more, not personal nature, but questions that relate to personal interests and personal, you know, ideas that we may have, questions that we may have, let's give an opportunity for them perhaps to interact with us either in our offices or somewhere on the premises here. But these sort of lunches, I feel a bit uncomfortable in my capacity here. If I were a South African trader and an outside company would like to do business with me, that's fine, then we can go for lunch. But as long as we are supposed to remain impartial, then I think that I've got serious questions about you know, especially smaller type of lunches of that nature.
But there's a view as well,
going
to go to
I also, when I looked at this, had that form of uneasiness. I haven't sort of put together my thoughts as much as I'd like. But what to me, a few things come in mind. The first one is the purpose of such meeting. You know, it's very important that we be really clear as they come up. I see to the extent that coming there, and also the nature of the meeting, which I think this is what you understood articulate. A group approach to me would be very, very helpful, because on one hand, you know, every citizen has got a right of access to parliament in various forms. But of course, when it comes to modalities, that's where the heat is, as to how do we handle it now. I take and commend your point of saying that you aren't used of going there as an individual, whereas they have the right to approach you. So a group approach in whatever form, I haven't thought of what structure would it go. But then it's anchored around temples, because we cannot run away from the fact that there is an interest from those companies or whoever to influence direction in parliament. And that's where now, you know, I'm leading people, the nature, because then the nature of the meeting is for us to say, if they come and present themselves in those small groups, we will just say, okay, fine, we'll ask questions and thank you, but it must be clear they shouldn't expect us to be committing anything, you know, what they've done, that right. And the second area is a little bit of saying, if there is a way of encouraging what one could call cluster or sector engagement, because I'm looking at extractor, and they say they want to raise a couple of issues pertaining to trade in the ferrochrome industry. Now, you know, a question that, you know, struck me is that, are there any other companies that might be keen on that? Would we be disadvantaging extractor if we could say, come together with a couple of other companies so that they don't get triggered by our meeting with extractor and ask for the same meeting down the line, and we have the obligation to respond to them, because they'll say, how do you meet extractor and not meet us, you know? But it's a balance, because extractor might be saying that it's something urgent, but I think we need to, in a very creative way, look at that form of sectorial approach, because what if it's affecting the ferrochrome sub, you know, the industrial sector as a whole? It's just that extractor was more proactive. The last one, which is a little bit just general and broad, is that maybe this approach or this initiative must also trigger some mentality and thinking on us as a challenger. Shouldn't we maybe be proactive from our side and look at the especially disadvantaged groupings? Because, you know, traditionally you find that these companies, as established companies, know that they have an opportunity and right to approach parliament and engage with it, whereas the others don't. Maybe we should think about that when we have those two per year meetings that are held outside parliament, so that we can start wherever we are and say, look, we will invite a couple of SMMEs and say that, look, do you have anything that you know, affects you? Send it with the site if you care about that. Let me raise it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khadeh.
Honorable Chairperson, thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity again. First of all, I'd like to apologize for arriving late. The traffic was very hectic where on the route I came through. Comrade Chairperson, I think the first thing I have to comment what you said. When you look at our program of Parliament, it's very tight in such a way that we cannot be able to accommodate all these people into the program of Parliament. So the issue of doing lunch or side meetings with people becomes the necessity, because we have to extend the reach and then increase the communication between ourselves and these people. But then what I'll do, I'll say, I'll recommend the situation about you don't go alone. Let's say you get a representative, five people of the committee, go with you and then thoroughly engage. If there's a need for any urgent attention, that meeting will come and recommend at the committee level what must be done. I think on that far away, it will have covered everyone, protected everyone in the process. Because as Mr. Jigarana has said, that those people have got a right again to gain access to parliament. But if you can look at our program now, the way it is, there is no way we're going to accommodate them this year. It's impossible. But find that their issues are so urgent that they must be addressed. No, I think I'll go with that one. But on the other issue, apart from this one, on the issue of the trust areas, because I don't want to come back. Comrade Chair, I think one thing which we have to look at is the cost of doing business in South Africa. That one is critical. We are speaking about growing the economy. Let's look as a community of trading industry. How much does it cost? Because we spoke about Brazil. What made Brazil to go ahead of South Africa is the way the structures, the way the business are run in that particular area, in that particular country. So what must we do? One, the issue of doing the cost of doing business in the urban areas, the issue of cost of doing business in the rural areas, because one of our focus in this time again is the issue of rural development. What does it cost to set up a company in a rural area
compared to the urban area. That's our mandate. We have to look at that. And the issue of skills again. The issue of skills. When we speak about economies like India, Brazil, China, you look at the number of engineers they are generating per annum, the number of actuaries they are generating per annum, the number of accountants they are generating per annum, that's what leads to their growth in their economies. Are we making them up? But you can see that also one of the focus areas is the issue of education. So it means that we, as a portfolio committee, we must raise these issues at a cluster level so that those other portfolio committees we are dealing with, that really we must get regular feedback and we make regular input. Because if we sit back, really we are not going to grow this economy. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Member Steeney?
Two items. First of all, no, I accept with what the Honorable Statesman is saying, there is not such a thing as a free lunch. But I accept what the Honorable Radev is saying, which I think it makes sense. These people need to be heard. We all speak to people informally. Let's do it. Things need to be done formally and informally for as long as we operate as colleagues. There is the transparency, and we all achieve it. I mean, the chairperson mentioned my contact. I mean, it's not a company. It was the South African Association of Chartered Accountants having a problem with the company tax. No, they are the experts. They want to. We can't hold a hearing on something like this. It'll take us a day and drive us crazy. A few of us can look into it, and as we do it informally. So I think that let's just move in this direction and see where it goes, as informally as possible, reporting to one another, and on a case-by-case basis. There are cases on which it may make sense to have staff with that. Other cases in which it might not make sense. I wouldn't make it an object of deliberation. Then having said that, let me just, if I may, comment on this issue of mandate. And I got full appreciation of the political reality, but I think, again, for the correctness of Parliament, let us draw a distinction between the political process and the institutional process. The ANC receives mandate from the ANC president, and the State of the Nation address is a mandate given to the ANC structure, and obviously the ANC structure will bring those mandates into this committee. But we do not receive mandates from the president as a committee. As a committee, we give the mandate to the executive. So the political discussion of mandate is political. It's not institutional. We are the legislature. We give the mandate to the executive and not vice versa. Thank you.
Yes, now I couldn't agree more. That is why I wrote here, it's the clarification and the mandate of the department. We're not a department, we're a portfolio committee. But once their mandates are clarified, it may impact on how we do things. That's really what the issue is. And right now, we continue as we are, but it would be foolish to just ignore reality entirely and to say, it's not going to change, we haven't been informed. So until we've been informed, you know, you sort of say, you know it's happening out there, and it may be advisable at this point to at least acknowledge it and to say, I already said to the Chair of Chairs, I didn't see how we could finalize a review of the strategic plan until after the State of Nation. Absolutely finalize it. I thought it would be advisable to wait until that, so that we all look at things again and say, well, by then, of course, Parliament will be also informed officially, and we may then continue as we like, or we can take cognizance. But I do take your point, and I think the current speaker in particular is highly aware of the separate constitutional functions of the institution of Parliament and its powers. And the fortunate thing that we have at the moment is we also have a president who's been an ordinary MP, if I may put it that way, an MEC, an eminent minister, but he has also served in Parliament, if you like, here, having a full understanding of the imposed de facto limitations on the powers of Parliament, not the de jure. There's a big difference. But the reality is sometimes the de facto overtakes the de jure. And with due respect to the staff I have here, there was a time when the staff thought they were running Parliament. But,
and they were right.
But now we all know the staff are, of course, serving Parliament. They are functioning. No, but as I said, with due respect, because we have some very competent, supportive, very politically aware staff here in every respect. So there we are. Honourable members, you know what? I honestly think that it's not really a discussion per se, but for consideration. And I really want to hear from all of us as we come through here. In particular, for example, we need everyone's contribution. I was saying to the committee chair that some members speak a lot more than other members, some members are also new. But I do think that every member has been sent here through the electorate, and whatever you have to say is important. But we are also aware that some are much more economic with their comments, and that's also welcome. Thank you very much on that. So we looked at this. We're going to check when it's coming up on the program again. We can't leave it too late, but certainly not before the State of Nation. I think that's clear. Okay, so that we put to one side. It is now 11:15. And we have a chance now to look at the draft committee program. Because what we're doing on gambling is not, not going to affect it as such. Am I correct there, the briefing? Yeah. So can we please go there to the draft committee program? Some of you were sent this program and given this program last year. Do you remember? That is the program of Parliament. That's the program of Parliament. This is ours. Haven't you all got this? Where did you send this? Now, I didn't know who our helper was because I wasn't introduced. I even made the mistake of thinking you were running the kitchen. Now, are you actually the support staff? Yeah, I'm the introducer. I wasn't sure of her capacity. She may have come from the speaker's office as well. As it was, I thought she was giving us the glasses. No, you don't know what I mean. People can't. You see the mistake that was made last year when someone just walked in. We didn't know the person's capacity. I thought the person was a member of Parliament from another committee. The person had just sat down and had been attending lots of meetings and told us how he was contributing effectively to most of them. Now, you have to have some operational rules, colleagues, really. We can't have that. And I also don't think the media can think that they can talk to someone in Parliament on the administration and get a ticket to come in and then tell you that so-and-so, whose name you've never heard of, said they can have an interview. The only interviews I give are those I've agreed to, and not that any functionary at Parliament has said I'm making, because that's not my obligation. So I hope that will never happen again. And I don't give interviews, as you see from the paper. No. If we can get into the program. The draft program, Andre, you're going to be dealing with this. But I'll say three things. You got this program. It was approved. It got a second approval. And then it was changed Monday night. I am sorry, it was something beyond my control. So we are having, even at this stage now, to make changes. The fourth we already took out because I thought it would be a caucus day for people, and in fact it turned out to be a caucus day or something. So we never had it anyway, am I correct? But the date that I firmly believe we were going to be given, because we were told we were given this, was Tuesday the 9th and Wednesday the 10th. Where is it? It's here. Well, you've already got it taken out, I'm told. Yes, it has to come out. Last night I see the committee secretary took out the Wednesday the 10th. But you'll see some of you who got them yesterday, you may have got the wrong copy. So I hope you're only using what you've just been given. Right, so the 4th is gone and the
10th. Yeah. I just mentioned that my party has definitely not been aware of any committee meetings on the 9th, because I received notice this week of the caucus on Tuesday the 9th. Now, I know Tuesdays are a very strange date for caucuses, but it seems to me then that I would be unable to attend.
That's also a change. You can see how new it is because the committee secretary doesn't have it. You see, he's all looking at me. No, we were at a meeting with the chair of chairs yesterday and the secretary for parliament, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And due to the truncated period, due to Easter, I'm sure we all know it's in very early Easter, there have been further changes made. And the 9th has also fallen off. And apparently, that's in agreement with other political parties who want to hold caucuses on that day. Now, I'm glad to hear it was not a figment of their imagination, and it's definitely happening. So take off the 9th, okay? That's a chairs and whips issue. Obviously, Honourable Khadevi hardly knows that because it's so fresh. You see, he's a whip sitting here. But I know you will be informed in that regard. All right, then you have the 11th, which is the State of Nation, which we all knew about at the time of the program being finalized last week. Yeah. It's 7 o'clock in the evening. There'd been some idea to call committee meetings in the mornings, but there were three reasons why this was not agreed to. We understood that many people are receiving families at airports. They're getting hair done. But apart from that, there are also what we call further party briefings on different approaches across the board. So it's not a very suitable day. And finally, as the secretary said, they need the precinct of Parliament alone. They need to work on it. One of the many reasons we're having the president's address or the state president's address in the evening, I believe, and believe you me, it's not informed by anything I heard behind a back door, but it's just traveling on the airline every year. I believe it's due to the shortage of actual aircraft and the numbers that are coming down and trying to get people all down in bad weather, because for sure some flights will be cancelled in the day. Do you follow, you know? And I'm sure you're aware that in the past, in order to get to Parliament for that, people have had to leave the morning of the day before, the morning, to ensure that they can get on a flight in time and stay somewhere. So there are a lot of logistical problems, apart from what may be political issues as well, why perhaps South Africans may be safely at home, hopefully, and not driving in the rain. The rains all over the country have been extremely bad. I'm sure you know that. Was KZN not had any rain? Oh, really? No. Because I heard that this is a nationwide problem, the rain. Yes. Oh, was it too little in KZN? Too much. Southern Cape, too little. All right. I only know one thing. I was lucky to keep my little Jaguar because the road washed away. All I did was want to wipe the back window, and it's a good thing I did just get out because the road started to wash away, so I was able to get a bulldozer and stack it up and move it. So I think that we are facing a lot of civil engineering problems in our country, and those are people like me in the cities. I'm very distressed when I hear about what's happening in the rural areas, because I understand some of them are in dire straits, and sometimes even trade and industry needs to get itself to a proper rural area and not simply Atlantis, because it's very distressing. All right, so we know about that now. You've taken the ninth off. Where did we put things? The day, if you look at tomorrow, you've already made a change there. Do you remember? This morning you made a change. You said, no, let's do the minutes. The adoption of the report, the DTI, in my own opinion, I can't see this being adopted on tomorrow. Do you? Any one of you think you're going to adopt it tomorrow? Yes, Honourable Khadetan?
No, Chairperson, I think that we still have to engage the various study groups continue to propose, because they are the final, they will be the record of Parliament for the next 10 years.
Yeah, we're not going to do it tomorrow. We've got to find space for that. There's a proposal that we look at it next week, Tuesday the 2nd. You want to adopt it then or have a third draft?
Third draft. Anybody who has noticed some glaring anomalies, I mean glaring, can they please contact the committee secretary directly? And I would like to ask if you've got a cell phone now. And where they've come from. Why am I doing this? Because when you come here, you speak to that and you say, I don't think this chair because of this. It's already there. We can see what you say and we'll do a similar thing. You can add to it. You can simply put a concept down, or you can, you know, and I think it's going to be useful. Otherwise, bring your own type of stuff here. because we can't read your writing. Right, Tuesday the 2nd of February. What are you talking about then? Well, what I'm going to do with that now, because that's going to be a bit difficult because it depends on the discussion. Can one of you bring in a laptop? We'll have a laptop here for the final report, you know, because you're going to make your recommendations. Your recommendations will be made at the meeting themselves, because you'll have to decide on the points you're going forth with. We may have conflicting views on things, and you can't have three different resolutions. So the resolutions will only be done when we look at the third draft, and that will be done here on laptop. It'll then come to us as a final draft for adoption. Is that all right? So this is the third draft. We'll have to go through this now. So then you can see that that's the one thing, Cipro. Do we still want to engage with Cipro?
No.
I mean, can we have this on record? Because these are decisions we're going to take with the strat plan. At the time, we thought it was important, but I'm prepared to review everything.
Just on account of, at least from my viewpoint, of much more pressing priorities, at least on my list, Cipro is quite down there. They're doing their job, they're chugging along, and they don't seem to require much of our attention.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ambrosini, Honorable Van der Vecht.
Chairperson, I have a different view. I have been asking numerous questions on Cipro over the last year, and the answers that I've received have been most disturbing. Cipro is presently a full entity of the Department of Trade and Industry, and they are to be converted into a commission which will require a different form of supervision over Cipro. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem that I have is the entity, and I want to state it publicly, is not in a good state of affairs. Some of the senior staff members are unqualified to fill those positions. There have been serious questions about certain tenders, and the Auditor General's office has promised a report to be with the printers tomorrow on Cipro, etc. So I have taken a particular interest in Cipro. Also, I've had complaints from the public that things like name reservations, company registrations, etc. have just fallen completely behind. The backlogs at Cipro, and you can go to the Cipro website where they themselves, you know, apologize for that. The backlogs have just been growing.
The point is made that, in your own opinion, there are too many questions about that, about its performance. Yes, Honourable Engineer.
Yes, Chair. I was also quite keen that we take a keen interest on Cipro and its transition. In its transition from Cipro to Ciproc as a commission. However, you know, we definitely need to balance time and look at priorities. But I mean, having been in the committee, comparing to the last time, I think one is very encouraged about how we are handling things more at strategic level. You know, that's very, very fundamental. In a sense, I would, you know, also appeal that we keep Cipro in the system. It may not necessarily be the ninth, but a little bit down the line. And also I would appeal that let us link it with another agency. I mean, to give one agency, you know, the 9-to-1 slot is a little bit too much. You know, there are a number of other agencies, you know, that you could pull in, particularly those we haven't considered. I mean, for example, the Estate Agency Board, you know, it has had a horrible past, so it might be helpful just for them to share with us how far have they turned themselves around. you know, I mean, it's actually maybe just 4 months. There may be one or two others submitted. In terms of time care, I'm flexible, but really, I'm also supporting the fundraisers. So,
look, we're running very tight here. I mean, you've seen this program. It's very, very tight. It's one of these agencies that, you know, depending on things work between the two departments, may shift. That's the reality as well. But let's not just, we don't know what that situation is. I do not know genuinely. So I'd have to wait and see myself here from Parliament. But what I do like the idea is maybe we could put some questions to them to come and answer here. And we give them 1 hour. So we put together questions. We want written responses and we want 1 hour here. What about that? That was over and done with, and we added to Tuesday, well, already Wednesday the 3rd. On Wednesday the 3rd, from 12:30. Yes, I think we can. We'll do the team. 12:30 to 13:30. Get lunch for that day, please. And from the parliamentary secretary, he's already told me people were just being fanatical about the budget. He's not sure why we couldn't get lunch. So I don't want to hear anyone from administration telling me there's no budget for lunch. So, and that was yesterday in front of 48 people. I'm sure he's not going to be able to step down from that statement. Well, I said lunch on that day, working lunch, 12 o'clock lunch, and we move in. Or 12, you know, whatever, but we're going to give them 1 hour. But we'll deal with that afterwards. I'd like a tiny task team, tiny, very tiny. We'll put questions on board ourselves here from tomorrow, if we've got any questions, let's bring them along. It'll be a rolling thing, and the questions will be sent to them on Monday. Okay? So sent to them on Monday. Is it too late? Right. Can we put through a task team? Can we ask our whip to be along on that with Mr. van der Westhuizen and someone from the IFP? Yes. Honourable Lavinia.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I would like to propose my colleague here, Honourable Lambro.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't face the immediate.
Thank you. Yeah. Could you have somebody who's opposed to it on board, you know? So all we're going to do, can you guys try and get together telephonically or whatever between now and sometime in the morning again? Tomorrow, because we, do you know what, the secretariat wants to send those questions at 2 o'clock. Yeah.
And the committee has got no problem that this subcommittee looks very similar to the Western Cape Cabinet.
Well, I'll make a point of being there, Master. And then it'll look very similar. Can we do that? And we'll look at them tomorrow. They'll just be printed out quickly if we want to add anything. And let's put that critical one in. Can we ask you, some of the ones we haven't changed in something about the church? Can we put a couple of questions together as well? And just give it over to Honourable Habib. Is that right? So we'll meet up there with a few of you who are
sorry, Chair, just a kind of clarity. Do we bring the questions here tomorrow or we give them to
No, what I think will be useful is as a team, if the questions are brought together telephonically, you can engage. That's the point I'm making. That if you can engage telephonically with each other and say, this is the sort of thing I think we should be asking. And you ring up Honorable Hagebe on the matter. And again here. And then bring your own over and above what you've said on the telephone. You follow. And try and be here at 8:30, if you like, in the morning, because the meeting is at 9. At what time? 8:30. Try and be here a few minutes before so you can have a 5-minute discussion or 10 minutes while we're having tea. And then we'll give it to the researcher, if I may, to then put together for the committee to look at as a draft, as a little draft. And we'll then be able to say, yes, these are the questions, and one of you will disappear and do it properly. Okay. We must be able to work with speed. If we're going to criticize the department, then we must also be critical of ourselves. You've got the questions in your head, Honorable Mandaveste, Jason. Exactly. And then Honorable Ngikalana can share some of these points that he wanted to make with Honorable Hagebe. I mean, that's there. Why do we? It's just a matter of putting it on paper. So then that takes care of the third, it takes care of State of Nation, and we then come to Tuesday. That won't change. Can you see that? Tuesday the 16th. If I don't hear anything, I take it okay. Wednesday the 17th. Tuesday the 23rd. Well, I've just been informed by the committee secretary that how many of you are on board Rhodes here? Who is serving on Rhodes? Rhodes. Board. Yeah, but if they're not serving there, why would they go? I mean, they're not serving there, you see. Oh, sorry. Honorable, you are serving. Sorry. All right, no, but first of all, we spoke only of transport. Economic development. Helen Lyne won't be here. Honorable Mabasa, you won't be here. Honorable Mabasa, I hope you are. You won't be here, I take it. Honorable Mabasa, you're in economic development.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we need at least 5 members. Who have we got left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got a delegation. It's an oversight, isn't it?
Sorry, Madam Chair, I don't want to sound
disrespectful, but what is the connection between going to a casino and reviewing legislation?
Well, this decision was taken last year. And if you know, it doesn't mean to say you can't revisit something. The reason it was taken, and no doubt all of you have been to the casino, have you? Has everyone here been to a casino and played in a casino? Who hasn't? No, this is not a morality
question.
All I want is to, I want to make a decision. So everyone has been inside the casino and played the casino.
No.
We didn't pray. We just looked with mouth and we did nothing else.
Okay. So the reason why that was there as part of the review is it cropped up, if you recall, on three occasions. One here, when we were told about the, what are the things they say old ladies play, but I mean now they say young men are playing, I don't know, what's this called? Bingo. Right. They said, you know, you take bingo. It says here for the pensioners and so on and so forth. And who is playing bingo? It's on machines. You know, here, then, everywhere. And it's doing this and it's doing that and it's not covered by all the stuff we're doing, blah, blah, you know, that sort of thing. So that was the one. The other way it cropped up is interactive. Now, what's this, internet? Interactive. Is this one on the internet? Yeah, the electronic, well, that one. Now, they said, you see, we pay for all of this. You know, look what this costs us under the legislation. An absolute fortune, you know? We have to comply. But now, you're going to go, and if you pass this, and you have this, someone goes on the interactive or whatever, there's no compliance that you that who puts in this? It isn't there. The costs aren't there. Is this fair? And remember, legislation has to be fair, you see. And the third issue that came up was in connection with the compliance with respect to money laundering. How do they monitor? You see, these were questions you asked. I didn't. So I'm just surprised you can't remember your own questions. You know, and then as a result of that, people said, well, maybe we should visit one of these places, you see. But that was said here. Then when we went to Good Hope, the fellow who brought the university along with him, you know, with a beard and a cigar and one thing and another, Carter, Casino Association, he was adamant that, you know, he felt strongly that the committee should actually, if this is falling under them, they should have at least made a site visit to a casino. And that was how it was agreed. But it was agreed that a delegation can go, you know, not the whole committee. So that's the purpose of that. Now, if you want to review that, you're entitled to review it. You know, yes.
From the chairperson was speaking with Mr. Sawada yet, is that how effective is that going to be, that oversight at the casino in the morning, when the operations are usually in the evening? Or was that going to look at the structure as they set up? Because then, the operation, if you want to see the people who come in there, you can go in the evening, then you can
after
see
the wall.
I don't know whether I can research through the time or whatever. Thank you.
No, look, obviously, I don't darken their doors very often. I have been there when they opened, when I was in the chair of finance in Gauteng, and we were all invited to Monte Casino to see what we'd agreed to. But I must say that was more like a carnival. Yes, Mom.
From what I understood was that if we were going to the casino, it wouldn't necessarily be to do a social impact assessment. It would be more about finding what the restrictions are, what the setup was, what kind of things they put in place to ensure that they were adhering. So it was more about a compliance issue and how the casino as the slot machines have been jammed.
And then for all we know, the day they ask us to come off, these machines aren't working. No, see. My sister plays, and her theory is that when a machine pays out too frequently, they switch it off. But, you know, I'm not a gambler per se. I'm a Scots person at heart and a South African. I've got better ways to spend my money. But I do think that it is a leisure activity. And just because I don't enjoy it doesn't mean to say others don't. So we're not all the same. I think we may need... So, Margot, are you saying we shouldn't think of night? Or were you saying we should think of the night?
I assume that it would be easier for the staff to actually take the committee through during the day because it's not as busy as the evening. If you're wanting to engage the staff with people who are supposed to, for instance, check ID numbers and things like that, for them to actually engage with us, it would be easier in the day.
What about the afternoon? Yes, sorry, you're asking.
Chair, I did go to Grandwell, it was soon after the public hearing.
I think this is important because our researcher wanted particularly to see what they were talking about.
So it was a mini oversight. During the public hearings, one of the issues that came out was that some people actually pay. If you walk to the casino, you actually pay. So I did see there was a gate behind. There is no pedestrian in the front. On the front, there's no front gate for pedestrians. It's at the back, and they pay 5 cents. And inside, that one of the things that also came out was the cameras. They'll take pictures of people who come in and they actually count. So I didn't see that. There was an issue about the workers. I think they were told not to talk to anyone. I tried about 3 or 4 different people. I couldn't get any answers. So I had to do my own observation. And one of the shocking issues is there's actually a crash there where people can leave their work. I think I went there in the morning at around 10. There were people gambling at 10. So there were quite a number of things to observe. Depending, I think at night it won't be easy to actually see those things because there's a lot of movement. So during the day there'll be something to see.
I'm wondering though, can I ask a question? That's why I thought we'd have an advocate or someone with a legal mind here. Why do we inform people we're coming? Is there a legal requirement?
Obviously these are places open to the public. See, the critical aspect is that we cannot exercise oversight over a casino. It's a private entity. The gambling board exercises oversight over the casino. We can go there, look at what's happening. If they're not in compliance, if we don't like it, then in our function of oversight in respect of the gambling board, we pick it up with the gambling board and say, hey, you're supposed to make sure that this is not happening. We saw it with our eyes. This is happening. So it's not an official oversight. This is technically speaking, we can go there at any time. We don't need to be invited. We don't need to be announced. And we cannot exercise public power. But since I've got one of my concerns, however, because it's on the same day, if we look at we're looking at a full day for the casino, and then only 1 hour and 45 minutes. Of public hearing on the impact of the financial crisis intervention. I mean, to me, that is the most important item of all the other items to which we should dedicate a week. We were told that the crisis would last a few months. The IDC has been targeting intervention on a 3-month period. The training leave is 3 months. And the crisis is not stopping. So I think that our major responsibility should be in respect of this item. I would like to look at this schedule to try to make as much space as possible to have these hearings over at least a week. Because it's not only for us to know, it's for the country to come to terms with what's happening. Because it's all happening I don't want to say in the dark, but there is not sufficient debate on who is getting the money, for what, for how long, and how much.
Look, what I'm going to suggest, would that a hand, Honourable Hadebe?
Thank you, Chairperson. I understand what the Honourable Ambrosini is saying, that the issue of the financial crisis is the issue. But also the issue of the casinos is also the issue. Because what happens is that, really, you can look whatever way. Those casinos are regulated by the DTI. Né? And part of our work is to do oversight, né, over the department and its entities. Part, the gambling board is part of that. So when you go, actually I was going back to what you said before, when you go and announce beforehand that you will be there, they'll wash things away, put them under the carpet. We as public representatives got a right, let's go in there. Even unannounced, go in there, they'll look through the processes, what happened. Because it's no longer, it might be private, but it operates under the public law, what happened, of which we have to ensure that it is complied to. So the issue of doing oversight again on invitation or alerting people is not going to be effective. When I do my constituents' work, I'll go to Home Affairs, go to the queues, né, as if they, I demanded, I'll look for a particular service so that you can look at the standard of services being provided. So when you alert them beforehand, you'll never get anything. You'll get this closure of the doors, as Luaz has said. So let's get in there, move throughout the casino, look over, the, and then eventually go to the management. Say, no, we're part of the Portfolio Committee of Trade Industry. The casinos fall under our ambit, and then we want to see 1, 2, 3, 4, whether they comply with that. So that if they don't comply, there's nothing we can do with them. If they don't want, we'll raise that issue, which we get there with the gambling board to ensure that they do their job.
Well, I think there are two ways that we're going to approach this. I do think there is a need for a small team to go through. And perhaps that's the whole idea, that it shouldn't be small. And we shouldn't go unarmed. But I want to seek legal opinion just to make sure that we're on. I believe that's how I would interpret the Constitution, but as I'm now representing Parliament as well here, let's you just look into and speak, I'm sure, isn't
no, we can get to
yes. And what is the name of our former advocate, is it Beja? Advocate Beja, she had her baby? She had the baby. Well, do I think it's important we wish her well, but are we consulting her or someone else? Right. If I can finish, then you comment, Honourable Ambrosini, or did you want to comment on what was said?
On what was said, yes.
All right.
Okay, no, Madam Chair, just clarity. We have no authority to go to management of any business and ask them for anything. They are not part of government. We have no public authority other than oversighting government and adopting legislation. So if we want to exercise that type of function, we need to request a member of the gambling board, which does have the authority to come with us. If we want anyone to open a door, open a book, open a drawer, we need to go with the gambling board.
I think we're talking at slightly cross purposes. On the one hand, what the researcher indicates, he went as a member of the public and he looked around. There's no authority needed for that, but he can report on it. Fine. We don't have the authority to go into a manager's office and demand something. I know that, and I don't think that. I didn't think that was what Honourable Hadebe was referring to. I think he was referring to having a general oversee. Now, and that's why I was coming to the point, the smaller the team, the better. We've already had the researcher there. You follow? We've had the researcher there. It may be useful for us to also have two or three people, a very small little team that goes out there and does exactly the same as our researcher. And then, thereafter, we approach the gambling board officially here to come and deal with us on what we have found. Do you follow? I think that's the way. So the small team we're talking of, I would like three, no more than four people. We did have five. Who are these three? At least three. Can I see if the DA's got someone they could send or happy? That is the Tuesday morning, yes. Obviously, I don't think 9 o'clock is going to get up. Hang on, why have I got that here? It's here. 9:30. Yeah, by the time you leave Parliament at 9:30 and get there at 10, you know, that's a good time enough. So we have one, we have yourself. Yes,
may I volunteer my colleague?
Yes, Honourable Lavinia, two, and Honourable Kadeli, can you either go yourself or and can you take someone else? Other, you know, I'll go, otherwise, who else is looking at going? Any other woman there? Honourable Kamala. You're on the committee. Am I right, Honourable Kamala? So then I'll go. So there'll be one, two, three, four. Is that okay? And we will then report back, and hopefully this will also give you some information. We will then call the gambling board. Look at this. I think that in all fairness, we're going to have to agree with this at this point here, coming down. I've taken cognizance of the public hearings on financial crisis, and I think they're pertinent comments. I also think that even having it there, it's going to be important for us to take it on until 8 o'clock, but I haven't yet seen the parties, including my own party, the caucus days and things like that. So as soon as I've seen that, because after all parties have their own program after 5 o'clock, half past 5, as you know, on a Tuesday. It's not on a Tuesday, Honourable Whip. The parties. Don't the parties do things on a Tuesday? Or is it a Wednesday? Wednesday. Oh, it's Wednesday. All right, then we're going to be sitting. I know there are some slots on the programming for parties, you see, and we don't want to interfere with that. So this will go on until 1900. That's, let's just say, half past three, half past four and three are seven. 3.5 hours at least for the first block. So you can go on until half past seven, but no doubt we will. What time do you get the transport for everyone? After seven? Right. Okay. So that meeting, look at 19:30, but it could just be seven. All right? 19:30, that day. The next thing, which is the DTI, IBC, etc., the research brief on trade policy must go ahead. This is a priority of ours. The WTO SACU, and I think you said I must only go until February. Oh, I think we're going to go till 24th. So can we please get your agreement up until page 2? Can you adopt page up to page 2, 1 and 2? Because the rest has to go back for a further review to the Chair of Chairs and the like of other changes. Honourable Ambrosini?
I'm sorry. I don't want to be difficult. I made that way. I have a difficulty in approving 2 or 3 hours of public hearings on the financial crisis. If that's the only bite we get to the cherry. And I'm afraid that by approving it now, then that precludes having a serious bite at the cherry because we have already done it. And so I would like to possibly tease out, if we're only going to have 3 hours at this, tease out a sort of a understanding within the commitment, within the committee. If the committee feels the way I feel, that we're going to come back to this, we're going to make this our priority because it is the priority of the country, and I think we are all equally concerned. I just don't want that there is the feeling of it's over and done, and then we look at casinos again.
There's just one thing here. You see, my own approach with that would be to say it'd be difficult to approve this because of trade policy getting so little. You know, only 3 hours or 2 hours, when I know that trade policy is a priority of this committee. But I do hear from you, and I think what you're really saying is you are afraid that if you agree to this, you'll never have the opportunity again to raise the issue, almost to ask for time for it. Let me just put this in perspective, the financial crisis. We're not looking at it in every aspect. I must make that clear. There are 3 or 5 committees looking at this. Quite clearly our sister committee, Economic Development. Quite clearly Finance is looking at this. The more you know and learn about the role of the Appropriations Committee, you're going to realize what the true role is of the Finance Committee. You know what I mean? It's another strategic. The other one are the Public Enterprises Committee. The other one is itself. All of the ones that deal with commodities are all concerned with the financial crisis, as is labor. So I think the point I'm trying to make is that I've given it a global term, financial crisis. What it really needs to say is, in respect of trade and industry, what aspects should we look at the trade, at the financial crisis? What should be our focus? In the same way that we said we want a research brief on trade policy. Why? Because we want to learn what is it that we're going to be using this year. We're going to be focusing on 3 things, Honourable Ambrosini: trade, industrialisation, and we're going to be looking, as I said right in the introduction of that other form, the impact of this crisis. I don't know what I actually called it, but it was the impact of all of the someone finds that draft that I wrote, you'll see what it says. It says here, we're looking at and the economic global challenges. I suppose another way of saying it for me would have been the financial crisis. Because today, we are even learning that America itself may be going into a second deeper recession. You know, so that was meant to cover the term financial. So without running around and not answering you directly, let me say this. No, we're not looking at every aspect of the financial crisis. I'm sure finance will look at some. But we are going to look at those aspects that deal with the mandate of this committee. And no, 3 hours is not enough. Neither is 4 hours. But as I see it, we need to be able, within our own time constraints, to be dealing with the impact of that global crisis on trade in particular, on industrialization in particular. And we may want to put together a far more substantive public hearing. These public hearings go back to just learning more about it because people have asked for this. But if you think that's not a sufficient answer, then the thing is for us to call for a debate in the interim. But we don't have more time for public hearings in this term. That I must tell you. We don't. Honourable Kadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think part of this issue of the crisis is not a once-off event. What must happen? Let's say after 6 months, we can come back and look at it again. What consequences are there? There was a stimulus or money put in. What are the dividends thereof? But I don't think that we can have the... I think that if we've extended the time up to 19 hours, and then let's say around before September, we have another bite again on the very same issue. And then we'll have had a longer event or plan, a longer time or period, whereby we could have the even the DTI would have made an assessment and come back to us and report. So it will not be end only end in the term. I think that once the end of the third term, we can look at it again. If there's a necessary for public hearing, and then we can decide on a date from there.
I'll go as far as to say that we need to look at a solid time, properly planned. You know, we would like the input from everyone here to say who, I don't simply want the department people to be coming along. We need our own other people. We need you to identify people. People, if you want to put it this way, in what they call press terms or media terms, from the left and the right and the center. We cannot only take one side of things. And the department, and we need a proper session here to which we may even ask the speaker if we can't invite our regional brothers and sisters along, you know, the regional integration, and have a proper... We're not going to do justice to it, so that's the plain answer. But you're not going, this issue will not be ignored. That's the second. And the third thing is, no, we will not deal with every aspect. So that puts you in a quandary, I know. But it's not going to go off the radar screen. We have to approve up to, without a choice, the 24th of February. I've asked us to approve the whole of page 2. The reason I've just said that is there may be some slight change to Wednesday's issue, depending on the department. But can we approve it in principle? And what will be ministered, Honourable Ambrosini, is your emphasis on ensuring that we do come back to this. That will be ministered. And I think that's a fair approach to the matter. I won't take it off the radar screen, neither will anyone else. Are we agreed on that? Can we propose the adoption and second this? Two pages, page 1 and 2 only. Propose, Dikalana, second this by Honourable Levine.
Just a small thing, Chair. In page 1 at the bottom, Wednesday, 3rd of February, research brief on trade fundamentals. Can you get a different term on that? I'm sorry, yes. Something that I know, but that I'm a bit lost with the term trade fundamentals.
Well, our researcher, who's, you know, he actually used to lecture in this. And when I said to him, it's a pity we don't have some fundamental tools at hand, which is not going to be what we got from the universities before, but from someone who knows what we need. You know, we don't want this academic stuff which is meant to take us to a doctorate. We want the sort of tools and instruments about trade that help us understand regional integration, international, what SACU is, and what are the instruments that lead to that and make it possible. And I'm sure if he was marking what I'd said, he'd give me zero, but that's what I want. Okay. Is that okay? Right. Can you please get your tea? Come and sit down. It's a 5-minute break because the researcher wants to brief us on the gambling. You've seen the agenda, a briefing on the progress made and the process forward is going to take at least half an hour. Right.
Everybody knows our grandfather's birthday today, When we conducted the public hearings, most of the things that came out were the social impacts of gambling vis-a-vis the economic impact of gambling. One of the issues that was very thorny issues, it's difficult to measure the social impact of gambling. There's no proper way of measuring those except just conducting interviews. Whereas on the issue of economic impact, one of the issues that came out really out of the presentation was the issue of employment, which needs also to be looked at, which I think the committee may also look at, is to what extent does it really create employment? Yes, it may create employment, but to what extent does it lead to the change in the unemployment rate? That is very important. There may be creation of employment, but does it change the entire unemployment rate? The other issue was the issue of revenue, that there is actually some revenue collected from these casinos or from gambling. And our question is the amount collected, the rate of collection, how much of it goes into the communities, and what kind of activities the activities in the communities do these the revenue collected, what kind of activities are on the ground. Now, if you look at the PowerPoint, the slide, it's basically an extract from the previous presentation, and it also includes interactive gambling. And if I'm just going to look at the last part, the part where it says points to consider. That's the main one, because the rest is something that we've already been doing. Now, one of the issues that came up is there a need to regulate? Is there a need to regulate the game, or should we just ban it completely? One of the main things to look at is the cost implications of either decision, whether to regulate or to ban it completely. What I mean by that is, if we decide, say for instance, the decision to regulate, one of the issues that came up is they're already illegal, so let us regulate them. Now look at what are the cost implications of those. That forces us to go back to look at social income. Will it address the social economic impact if we regulate? So that's one aspect to look at. And then the revenue received versus the distribution. Who are the beneficiaries? What level of benefits? What are the benefits to the community? And I conducted a small survey on some of the revenue collected. I think they run to about 80 million, and some are local municipalities. But one way to look at what that 80 million, how is it distributed, and what activities are there? And what, for instance, one of the municipalities, I think they spoke of creating a road. That part of it was to create a road. Now, the question was, road where to? Was it to the casino? Or a road to the shop. So those are some of the issues that people that committee may also look at. And then there was also the issue of gambling. This was raised by one professor that maybe the committee should ask themselves how many casinos or how many gambling agencies provide research funding on the impact of their own gambling. Because what most gamblers, what they mostly do is they will tell you about, no, we do have a program on people who are on what do they call it, the problem gamblers. Mm-hmm. They have a problem. But the question was, what research do they have? And what research have they funded to avoid such problems? Rather than having programs that deal with people who are already in the problem, who are already in that crisis. So that's one of the issues that we, what the committee can also look at. And then we still have an outstanding issue on advertising. There's this quick pick from Swaziland one, which is still, I think they need a briefing by the department on how far and where is the process on the issue of quick picks or Swaziland. That also involves the issue of the server. I think that's the interactive gambling. It involves the issue of them, of the server. That's basically, yeah, the issues that to consider for the, during the oversight. And then I prepared the last part, or some of the observations made at the Grand West Casino, which I also raised that there was a crash, and the crash was actually put as a benefit. And what I noticed was, what it means to me is that at least you can come and gamble in the morning knowing that your child is safe at the crash. So that's something that also needs to be looked at. There is an entrance at the back, 5 rand per person for pedestrians. There is no entrance, the front gates are strictly for cars or for vehicles. And the gate at the back is a 5 minutes walk from the Goodwood station. So, which means people catch the train, they can always go there at any time. And then what I also noticed is child neglect at parking bays, where parents are busy gambling, children are just walking up and down. And then there's lack of supervision. This is if you walk into the casino, one of the things that you'll see is that there's only one entrance, whether to the movie house, whether to the children's store, they are still exposed to the casinos. So there's only one entrance. There are no other entrances. So all the kids under 12 need to be supervised. So which means all ages. So that's another thing to look at. And also the issue of the workers. Workers are not willing to share information. So it's maybe to devise means of finding information. So generally, yeah, what I can say about the gambling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lawazi, Mr. Matlangu. Now, you know, what this was intended to is just to bring us here on board, but some of us may just recall from the very first time when we got that legislation. Well, it wasn't legislation. Regulation. But just to give you 5 minutes, Mr. Herman, just to brief us on that. How does this ever come up here, you know, apart from the strategic plan?
I'm just going to provide brief background to how we ended up with the decision to review national gambling legislation. As we recall, we had, on the 24th of June last year, we had a briefing by GTI on the draft interactive gambling relations in terms of the National Gambling Amendment Act of 2008. And during that process, the committee raised a couple of concerns, not all that is mentioned, but the committee raised certain concerns in terms of the timing and tabling of the regulation, parliamentary process and dealing with regulations, and the ethics of the legislation, among other things. And the committee took a decision to request a further meeting with DTI on that regard. That meeting took place on the 12th of August, where I responded to the outstanding question raised on the 24th of June. During that process, DJ indicated that they also are busy with the review of the gambling in the industry as we are talking. The committee raised further concerns in terms of the regulations, in terms of access of money to interstate gambling, the moral dilemma, the problem of gambling, illegal advertising and cross-border regulation, among other things. And then the committee took a decision to review, based on the concerns and the two reviews that we had, took a decision to review the gambling legislation and in the process also interact with DTI in this regard. Now, the committee's role and responsibility is clear in terms of the Constitution, in terms of oversight Section 55 and 56, and the rules of Parliament make provision for Parliament oversight over the executive. Also, and to ensure that what legislation, policies implemented, that it's done in accordance with what was agreed to. Now, the process to date was that advocates were placing major newspapers calling for submissions. That was done in October. We received a number of submissions in this based on the address of place. And we had our public hearings in November 2008. But due to change the parliamentary program, we couldn't complete the process. We couldn't finalize the hearings on the matter. So further hearings has been scheduled for 2010, and that's happening tomorrow, where the Family Policy Institute and Zongchi Monitoring Systems will brief the committee or will give evidence regarding that. Another process is that we will also interact with government stakeholders in this regard. So there's another meeting scheduled with DTI, National Gambling Board, the NRCS, and FRC will also express a view on the matter. The deliberation on submissions, the intention is to deliberate and to complete the process during the month of February in terms of our program. Such visitors to casinos also would be part of such a process. And the process of the committee is then to make recommendations to the House in how they want to proceed with the matter. Because remember, the committee has the power to review, initiate, or request to repeal. So it depends on what the committee wants at the end of the day. The committee will then make these recommendations to the House and then we will proceed from the end of the day. That's just a brief background and to the process of how we got to what we are doing.
Right, there's just one point here. We were actually very fortunate that the Minister did just bring these regulations round to us. It is an area that we also said, I think the research, a compilation of what I would call a book like this, which perhaps, Andre, you could get the research material across, you know, content, stuff, this sort of thing. Put it all together, because there's a whole lot of issues. This captures, it's just not a summary so much as even smaller than that. Not too sure, but you know, it's just a bird's eye view of what we've done. But if you simply look around the regulations, we see one of the clauses there, there was no reason for them even to bring them here. So you allow things to go on, they become habits with the executive. There's no ulterior motive or anything. And so if you get a minister who wants to bring them around, feels like it, you'll get it. If you get one who doesn't, they won't, you know. So we said we needed, other than this legislation here in gambling, that is an issue that we need to tackle across the board, not simply for this. Do you remember that particular position that we took? Now, I think that the committee's concerns were not simply about the timing. They were about the fact that the legislation itself, parliamentary process in dealing with that, it's a very big thing, and I think we need to, in the report that we've got here, which is saying the committee report, we've only we've given outstanding issues, possible thrusts, etc. What have we done? And in what we have done, some of you received it like this, looking like this. Have you seen it? And that is the template we were asked to fill in. So it's not something we had a choice. But over here, what needs to come over and above this package which may need to come into this package, you see, are those issues which were generated as spin-offs as a result of other legislation. This issue of parliamentary process of dealing with regulation. And we need to put that in. So I think we, that is, whether we do anything or we don't do anything, that is still something we would have achieved. That we put a focus on that. The request for a further meeting with DTI, I'm sure that's happening.
So that's based on that request, right?
And there's only two other things I wanted to raise here, and that has to do with the public hearings, these public hearings. We got, you know, the people who always have something to gain, material gain, financial gain, will always somehow be the first to see these notices anyway. And I've raised this before, and I want this raised in the final report here. Is there not another way we should be advertising public hearings? And I want your comments on these issues. I know we're closing off in 10 minutes, but yes, Honourable Lavinia.
Thank you, sir. I'm laughing because, you know, you just mentioned what I was thinking, that maybe there is a need for us when we advertise, you know, this public hearing. I don't know whether the simplifying is the right word, but you need to use some other mechanism to ensure that you also attract other sectors of the community. For example, if you see in a newspaper an advert about public hearings on the National Gambling Act, obviously for an ordinary layman down there, you see, they wouldn't be interested in that because they don't understand how does it affect me. So we need to find a way to make them to be able to understand that. We also need the opinion of people who are just concerned about, you know, the way the community lives, because these are the issues that might come out of gambling. So I don't know, Chatterton, but I was just thinking as you mentioned it. Thank you.
Chair, I think we can only look at it in conjunction with empowering poor communities, let me use that word, because gambling's effects run right across, but those that are hit worst are the poorest of the poor. So it means we must also say, how do we empower them to come to the hearing? Or how do we go to them to listen to them?
Thank you very much. It's all against, once again, public participation as well. Yes, Honourable Njikalov.
Quick, two things to me, Chair. One, it would be helpful to trigger this through a platform, which I suppose maybe under Hermes has got, whereby they can actually, through Mrs. Luzuko Jacob, you know, the communication, engage with SABC and check how they would help. Because what do Pat is saying, you know, actually would force now, if it's the Ukuz, FM, Radio Parapara, to explain it in the language, in Venda, Shangan, Kosa, in a way, voiced by even the pronouncer or the announcer, would ensure that if this is an understandable way and a user-friendly way. That's number one. Number two, I propose also the National Forum for Community Radio Stations be approached. Right at national level. The National Forum for Community Radio Stations, because they are another very, very, very significant network. I know GCIS, for example, does use them in their work. Thank you.
Very much. So that's another issue. We all agreed on that, are we? If someone is disagreeing that we should be going down this route, you know, you need to put your hand up sharply. Okay? Right. Yes, Honorable, Mr. Matlangu.
I was wondering, is it a question of how we advertise or the location where this actually happens? Because we may advertise, we find that people have seen it, they understand it, but the problem is the processes in Parliament and also the distance. So maybe you can also start thinking about the location where we can actually conduct such public hearings.
Yes, I think that's also very important. But, you know, one of the things that crossed my mind just while you were talking now is that this interactive gambling, so often the concept of deficits and, what we're losing on the balance of payments and this and that and the next thing are Greek to the average person with matric, let alone somebody who's not even interested in finance or economics or whatever. But the reality is it directly affects them. Now, why am I saying that? In interactive gambling, it is a source of revenue. But we are not getting that revenue necessarily. You know, you see. Now, we spoke about growing the economy earlier on, the Honorable Ambrosini. You can say we've got to have it because we're a modern country, we've got to move ahead, you know, it's global, what can we do? On the other hand, this whole thing about interactive gambling may indeed, at the end, directly affect the poor. The plight of the poor may be worsened, there'll be less to spend on them and so on. I don't know. These were issues we needed to explore. What was the impact of having interactive gambling on the economy itself? And you know, we never properly looked at that. What we heard about is that we do get this money and how they register and how they do this and how they do the next thing, but where are these facts about the opportunity costs? Where are they? We didn't get that from anyone, and I looked at my notes over Christmas. I never took any notes like that. You see, now that worries me as well. I think it's right for us also to be focused on the moral dilemmas that are coming out, on the socio-pathological issues, but there's also that. We know we're near getting through to the socio-pathological areas either. And also, there was a talk show the other day when I was driving by Weedy Deridi Dereco, or whatever her name is, and she was talking about malls and how in papers you hear about everyone wanting to put malls to grow the local economy. But in actual fact, the owners of the malls are in the first economy. This was a talk radio. What is it, 702? They were talking on it. Now, what worries me here is you have the casinos, and we heard a lot about how they're building up the local economy. But I don't know. If you go to these areas, I'm going round to Grand West, say. You know, I live very close to Grand West. I live in Acacia Park. Now, if you go to, I've driven past Grand West because I go to the airport on Vanguard. And then I just see a whole lot of poverty around me. Now, who are they employing that there's no poverty? I don't know. So casinos are here to stay. Of that I have no doubt. You know, you've also got to be practical. But I think we've got to start asking some serious questions about who is employed, why they are employed, who holds the franchises to the shops in there, and so on and so forth. And genuinely see, does the economy benefit? That's all I'm asking. Because they say that they benefit the local economy. We know they benefit the revenue of the country. Let's not argue about that or the problem. It's there. It's there. but how far does it go into the local, the little local economy? And I think that we haven't really got this down, and that is, I don't know, it's a concern of mine, and I would have thought that hopefully the committee was also concerned about the economic impact of interactive gambling. You see, I can't just put things down because I think it is. But I'm suggesting that it is an issue that we need to look at. Okay? The committee's role and responsibility, yes. Process to date, the adverts. I raised the issue of adverts last year, and I was told there wasn't enough money. Am I right? Remember? We had so much money for the process. We also wanted to go to Johannesburg, if you remember, to do this. Don't you remember? Well, whoever. We weren't allowed to go there because of money. Now, the big issue is, in terms of adverts, the majority of people in South Africa, radio is listened to by more people than read papers. I do all three, as I'm sure all of us sitting here do. More people listen to the radio than watch TV. I don't know, you know, and any political party worth their salt advertises on radio. Why? It works. It works. But Parliament doesn't place advertising on the radio. Does it? Unless it's about when the elections are, and I don't think that's Parliament. I think that's the Independent Electoral Commission. So I want to appeal to yourself, Andre, to speak to these management people and tell them we want radio, but we also want radio shows. People who speak Zulu, for example, you know, need to be able to go to the radio show and speak on that radio show and tell them what we're up to. People who speak Afrikaans, people who speak Sotho, where are all these languages here? Comrade, Honourable Mabaso, you speak about six.
I'm
close to 10. Yes. So, I mean, he could be like one of our honourable mentors here, speaking regularly on the radio station, as it were. Now, on a very serious note, as a committee, we're going to be a lot more proactive in this regard. As colleagues, we do oversight as colleagues. Let's do some of the advertising as colleagues for public hearing. Do you follow? But there has to be a set script. By that I mean it's this, it's that, and obviously colloquially you would then explain what the this and that is. And I certainly would like to see some of that done. Submissions received. I think it's time for, do we have an education centre here in Parliament? A centre where they can help the public to understand the material that's coming out of Parliament. And some of the legislators, three of them that I know of, when you're running the budget, they have the budget as a comic that they hand out. They have submissions. It's called public participation as submissions. And they tell you, what is a submission? How can you make it? It's not just in this highfalutin English. Due to changes in the program, we heard yesterday from the Chief Whip, from the Chair of Chairs, and from the Parliamentary Secretary of this multi-party forum that we are to be reassured the program has had its last ad hoc change. Some of us, I was one committee that had five program changes between August and November. And this can't go on. So they've agreed that the only things that will change our program now is an emergency situation in the country when a president has to address the country after, the, you know, the president asks, it's something very important, and of course that's the state president. When another dignitary comes here and asks to address Parliament, that may be the case. But other than that, they will not change the program once it's been authorized. And I think we are all relieved. And that's it. So the site visit to the casino, we've taken that decision. The only thing that we have to ask ourselves, what do you want to achieve? In 5 minutes, can you tell me why did we embark on this for 6 months? Because some of us may have forgotten gambling. All the hearings, all the this, all the that. Why? You know, we spend so much time on it. Yes, Honorable Intikalana.
My pen is stuck on his chair. You know, it all started with just reviewing the active gambling regulations. But in my recollection, it became clear that whilst we may have just been looking at some of the hitches that were arising out of the consideration of the interactive gambling regulation, as well as the sequel of the amendment of the Gambling Act itself, in fact, the need to review the whole legislation of gambling because of the uneasiness by the committee, and also the fact that it was clear that there were still some fundamental questions which, even if in the past were questioned, I mean, were answered, but they were not thoroughly responded to, particularly the impact of gambling, you know, on the common of the country, the benefits that are always claimed, you know. So all of that, but, and also, you know, the overall practice and framework of compliance and regulation, you know, being exposed by, amongst others, the fact that there was an open flank of the interactive gambling not being covered. You know, all of that triggers the fact that not only should you just dispense with the refinement of the interactive gambling, you know, and be done with, but also to just once again do an overall surgical work, if I may say so, on gambling legislation. That was my understanding. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Now, that's the recollection of one member, and yes, Honorable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure I will try and touch some of the things that will try to answer your question to say what is it that you want to achieve. However, it has been said earlier on that it needs to be regulated or banned. It was one of it. But I'm sure you recall that when we had interaction with these cluster people, there's a number of things that they confirmed to us as they are reality. One, the issue of employment that is permanent, and they are in 100% compliance, of which we are not sure of. But secondly, is that once we are touching the issue of gambling, whether by our ordinary people or whoever that is highly employed, the issue of unemployment comes up. Then you ask yourself a question to say, who has to go there? Does this money come from? Because you can't just enter the casino without a cent in your hand. You see, at the end of the day, now you ask yourself, is it correct for us to say, who has the right, who has not? I'm sure
It will be correct, as you have rightfully said, that it has to be taken down to the location. I mean, to get a consent and opinion for these folks just staying there, whether it does actually assist them or it's something for people that, security people, not for everyone. That's why I said I'm not too sure whether it will be proper for me to say yes, we do answer the question to say what is that, what should I achieve, because at the end of the day, you have said already that it will be there, whether we want it or not. It will exist, but I mean, we mustn't just leave it to say, let it happen for those that is good for them. That is my idea.
Now, I think you raise and also confirm a number of concerns that are in the committee. Thank you, Honourable Commander. Honourable Mabasa.
Correct, Chair. Adding to the points that have already been made, as a public representative, in a way, we are also a conscience of society. You know, we are challenged to say when we make laws, are the laws beneficial to society or are they harmful to society? And I think in general terms, we were coming to an observation that gambling is more harmful to society than benefiting society. To a point where it was even explored if it shouldn't be banned. But out of the engagement moved us between banning and serious regulation. So in terms of what did we want to achieve, that's my understanding, that there is that range. But had we gone to any extreme, it would still have been within our rights, you know, informed by the dilemma that's caused by gambling.
Just on that note, I think the point or the question before the committee then has, one of them has to be, do the benefits outweigh? There's an acknowledgement, even by themselves, that it does cause harm in some cases. They acknowledge that. They do. They said so. But of any law, you weigh that up. And then if we take the view that, yes, the benefits outweigh this, then you regulate it if there are harms involved. In the same way that medication is regulated. You know, you can't buy everything over the counter, just as an example, drugs and that kind of thing. So I think that you did also put your finger on another important point, Honourable Mabasa, when you said, while one has the right to go to an extreme, in other words, a parliament has the right to ban something, you know, repeal law and so on and so forth. You have that authority, that power, that right. But again, we also acknowledge the environment we are in, and I've often looked at it and said to myself, very often when one talks about dangerous weapons, I mean, the knife in the kitchen sometimes is more dangerous than what you can buy in a dangerous weapon shop, you know. So the whole thing becomes contextual. And we need to contextualize people's leisure activities. We need to avoid the extreme of imposing a particular morality or religion and so on, because our whole constitution is built on tolerance, if you like, and the belief in other people's dignity. So it's a very difficult, when you're dealing with something like gambling, it really is one of the more difficult decisions to take, and to know that the decisions you are taking will protect society more than it harms society, will advance society more than it, you know, moves society backwards, will empower And I think when these laws were passed, when were these laws first passed? I think in 94 or 95 was it? You know, we were all new in the legislating game, and a lot of the laws that were passed or appealed or whatever in 95 and 96, we are busy reviewing because people did not see the impact. How could they see the impact when it wasn't there? In some ways, you know, you have the legislation and then you say, what does the impact mean? And when we first came here, we realized and we asked ourselves, again in one of my notes I've got someone having asked, was it their intention, do you think? Did they even contemplate interactive gambling when this law was written? And you see, this is what I'm saying. The advances may say, please review legislation from time to time. So I think that possibly, I don't know if I'm understanding the Honourable Kamalo completely, and I hope I am when I say that it is important that people whose lives are affected have a chance also to comment. I hope I captured that as it was intended, and that it is our job to facilitate that. Secondly, we need to ensure that we don't impose private morality on the public. And I think that is also important. And the third thing, perhaps the overriding issue, are the benefits and the harms. And the benefits would look at everything from the society, the group, the economy, all kinds of things. There are about 5 or 7 of these. I think what were listed here was 5, wasn't it? Didn't you list about 5 of them, or someone did? So I'd like us to think very seriously, to engage our parties on this, because this is a very thorny issue. And it also cuts across political parties, as we all know. And I would think that it is important for us to really look at the matter and decide how to approach our decision, and then to get a technical expert in of our own choosing to explain the ins and outs of this interactive gambling, the loopholes or the problems that all countries, and I think we need to identify someone there, and to just get the department back again, if they themselves have such expertise, to hear from them and our own researcher, and have, you know, something like 2 hours devoted to that before we take a final decision. So I'm going to ask you to go to your parties. We've almost reached the end of where we need to go, and it's to discuss it with them, because that decision will be made before the end of the session, meaning the end of March, you know, before we go. So I think that it's a serious matter now. You must consider it seriously. Having said that, it is 1 o'clock, and we want to thank you, those who committed themselves to staying till the end, notwithstanding how overworked some folks sitting in this committee are. Thank you very much for applying your minds, and I really don't want to get a phone call tomorrow morning telling me you can't come. Other than Honourable Mabaso. No, the meeting this afternoon has been cancelled, and that I said I'm sure we don't want to drag it out. Thank you.
Thank you.